What a delight to be back with you. And wow, I'm enjoying so much. Even the chance that I had earlier today to visit with Brother Martin. Of course, John Plants and I are friends. Actually, we see each other. We've never seen each other in America. We've seen each other in Canada or Israel. And but we'll talk more about those things a little bit later on. On the back table, you'll find a number of products from Israel. Even if you don't want to buy something, I suggest you take a look at some of the coins. One of those in particular happens to be one of my favorites. I enjoy looking at coins, collecting coins, and involved in some of the archaeology and discovering coins. And one of those is the coin of Alexander the Great. And so you're looking at a coin that's about 2,300 years old. And when you see how it's struck, it's fantastic. It's not right in the middle of the coin. That makes it fun. And there's also a shekel. Some people think it might be like the shekel that Judas received 30 of. Now, I'm not saying it's one of those shekels. Don't misunderstand me. Okay? But it's like that. And then there's a couple other really unique coins. And some of those are being worn by people. See if you can pick those out. There's also a ruby that's about a 4-carat ruby. Where's the ruby? Someone wearing that? I got a couple of people modeling these things. And it's very unique. It's out of Burma. Burma has an incredible amount of jewels, jade and rubies, and that's one that was smuggled out. When you see it, you'll see what I mean by it's very unique. And so it's worth your time to take a look at those. There's other things about the back table, but we'll talk about those at another time. And I think rather than spend our time that way, we'll just get into our lesson. I do appreciate your prayers for my family. I think some of you know that Sharon is recovering from a tumor that was removed out of her jaw. And by God's grace, she's feeling much better. So she's had two surgeries, major surgeries in the last 12 months, one on her intestines. And doing much better, not able to travel yet, but I'm hoping by this summer or maybe later this spring I can trick her into getting on an airplane again. And then they took the tumor out of her jaw, and she's got most of her hearing back. You can still tell it's puffy on that side, but I hope that before long she'll be able to be back to normal again. My daughter Pam in Burma, as some of you know, she had surgery late in the fall, in November, December, and we think that went pretty well. And then just a week ago, the retina of her eye, she had one eye repaired, and now the other eye tore. And so I won't give you all the details. I had to make a choice whether to fly to Burma to be with her or to come to this conference. And so we took a little 2-hour prayer time as a family. My daughter said, I think God would have you go to the conference. So pray for her. Her husband just now got to come out of Burma, and he just joined her in the last 48 hours. And so she's got 30 more days with her head kind of in this position. If any of you know about retina reattachment, you know you kind of put your head down to allow that to heal. And pray for them. By God's grace, it's during the summertime. And so the work of the school will not be hindered. However, some of the evangelism that we have planned in the outer skirts of Burma, other people will have to carry that on. Pray that that might go on faithfully. Well, in our time together, I want to look at 4 or 5 subjects. And one of those that I want to deal with tonight is the alignment for the Antichrist in terms of the nations. I really believe that we're watching the final stages of earth and the plan of God for this earth right now. I personally think that the Lord could come at any moment. I'm pre-trib in my theology. I believe that we're not going to go through any part of the tribulation. But instead, God in His grace is going to see fit to call His bride home to be with Him. And that last period of 7 years called the tribulation is really for the Jewish people. Because you see, all the way back in the book of Daniel, he talked about 77s, 490 years. And from the rebuilding of Jerusalem until Christ was cut off was exactly 483 years to the day. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And other prophecies indicate how accurate God is. And so God still has seven more years for the Jews. And I think that's the tribulation period of time. But prior to the tribulation is a period of time that I believe that we're living in right now. And while God has indicated that there's not one sign for the tribulation, listen to me, there's not one sign for the tribulation. Sometimes people say, well, what's the latest sign for the... There's no sign. There's a sound. Okay? And the sound is the trump of God. And those of us that know Christ, we will be ushered into His presence. We'll meet Him in the clouds. And then, I think after the church is raptured, then there will be a treaty signed by the Antichrist with the nations of the world, including Israel. And I agree tonight that one of the greatest deceptions is taking place on planet Earth. Matter of fact, you want to know something? I believe that on almost every level of the earth, we are watching people deceived. Brother Martin has been talking to us about the deception that is in this evolution creation debate. And I'll tell you, it is so clever how they do it. They almost make it so that they insult you, hoping to get you to concede that the Bible cannot be true. Somehow or another, they'd like to argue around God. They don't want the power of God in terms of creation. They don't want the redemption of God in terms of Jesus Christ. They don't want the authority of God's Word. And yet the real truth is this, that without God's Word, we don't know truth. Truth is God's Word. And so I think that among the things that we want to look at tonight is the alignment of the Antichrist for the nations. Next, I want to look at technology. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that all technology is bad. Matter of fact, I probably own almost every kind of technology invented by man. I don't know how to run it. But I have this thing, I want to buy it. I think it's a male thing. I just love buying it. I like bringing it home from the stores and sitting it there and saying, I got it. Look at this thing. This thing can read your mind. This thing can... I don't know how to do it. Matter of fact, sometimes it gets so frustrated I have to take it to work. And one of my secretaries says, oh, I know how to figure that out. You do? You know what? Even my lousy iPhone sitting over there, I have to have a grandkid update it for me. Are any of you... Oh, you don't have grandkids. You're not that old. But, man, matter of fact, someone said, aren't grandkids wonderful? I said, yeah, they're absolutely fantastic. Because without that, my iPad would be out of date and my cell phone would not work. Because I got to have my grandkids to run those things. Hey, do you understand that the Bible makes some statements about the alignment of the world in terms of even technology? We want to look at it. Because you see, I think that while there's not a sign for it, in terms of the tribulation, there are signs for the millennial kingdom. Okay? There are signs for the period of time in which the tribulation will begin. But there's no sign for the rapture. In other words, we're to be so looking for Christ to come, we don't need a sign. We're looking for Jesus, not signs. So please don't say, well, you know, what? No, if we get so caught up with the signs, we could miss the real thrill of looking for Jesus. My hope is, and in my last message, I've always dreamed of doing a rope trick. And I want to do a rope trick. I know you're worried about me right now. My family's worried about me. Because, as you can tell, I'm not much of a cowboy. You know, at least Brother Martin's from Texas. Okay? But I'm going to do a rope trick. I've been practicing my rope trick. Now you're nervous about me doing a rope trick. But I'm going to do a rope trick. And when you see this rope trick, you're going to say, oh my goodness, he ought to be in a rodeo. Yeah. Because you know something? I believe that there are people sitting in the church that may be born again. And the real truth is they're not looking for Jesus to come. You see, we become diverted in so many directions. We've caused our attention to be so taken up by every aspect of the world, whether it's economics or education or political science or just our careers, that we've almost forgotten that really life is about Jesus Christ. You see, He not only should be number one, He is number one. whether we recognize or not, Christ really is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And so tonight, as we begin to look at discerning the times, among those things, I want us to look at some things about the alignment of the nations. But I want to do so by looking at this. How do you know that the Bible prophecies are true? You see, it comes down to truth. Anyone can tell you a story. And you know what I found? Anytime I have a salesman that keeps telling me, you know what? Now, this is really true. I think, okay, what's he trying to hide? You know what I'm saying? Isn't it amazing how that in evolution, for example, they're always said, now, that they have to work so hard to make their point. And the same is true when it comes to the Bible. You understand that God wrote the Bible so that we would know the mind and the plan of God. And I think that everything that we need to know about God's plan, I really believe it's right in this book. I don't think we need other books to help us. I write some books. But the real truth is, every one of those books will soon be out of date. The real truth is, every one of those books, sooner or later, you might find, oh wow, you know what, now we know that this is true. But this book, the Bible, never goes out of date. And so it's this idea that sometimes when you examine what people call truth closely, you find it's made of lies. Matter of fact, you know what? Satan is the master at it. John 8:48, your father the devil. What does it say about him from the beginning? From the beginning, he was a liar. The truth was not in him. And so here's what I find. I find that often what happens, they take something that's true and they change it just a little bit. They add a word. They take out a word. Isn't that what Satan did in the garden? God says, you shall surely die. What does the devil say? You shall not. He added one word. You understand? Adding one word can change the truth of a whole idea, can't it? And so, go with me tonight to John's Gospel, chapter 13. Because how do we know that we're really living in the last days? And I'm sure that if you believe that and speak that, then you have people tell you, yeah, but people have been saying that for a long time. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 19. This is the Lord Jesus. He's hours away from the cross. He's with his disciples. Judas has departed. And verse 19, he says, now I tell you, before it comes, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Isn't that great? He said, listen, I'm going to tell you before it ever occurs, so that as it is occurring, you'll know that I'm he. Aren't you glad he said that? Because you see, the disciples were about to witness something that was really incredible. You see, they believed, they honestly believed that they were following the Messiah. How did they believe that he was the Messiah? Because they'd heard his words, and never man spake like this man. They had watched his miracles. Never, never was there ever a person born blind that was given sight. Jesus did that. When was the last time you heard of someone taking a small lunch from a small child? Both of those smalls are on purpose, and feed an entire multitude. I mean, how did he do that? You want to know why? Because he was unique. He was unique, the Son of God. He was unique, the Savior of the world. He was unique, he was the Messiah. And when the disciples followed him, they heard his words, they saw his miracles, and they said, this is the Messiah. And so they were convinced that the Messiah was here. They were convinced the Messiah was among them. And in their mind, he was getting ready to set up the kingdom. And they had no idea that between the kingdom and the moment they were standing there, some incredible things were going to take place. Like the death of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how shattered they were? And so that's why he tells them. He says, listen, in the next several hours, something is going to happen that you think is not even possible. But I'm going to tell you before it occurs, so that as it is occurring, you'll know that I knew. Folks, that was at His first coming. Do you realize that when we come to the Bible, when we come to the Word of God, that He tells us these are the signs leading to the millennial kingdom. These are the signs leading to the tribulation. And He says, listen, I'm going to tell you before it occurs so that as it is occurring, you'll know that I knew. Hey, let me ask you this. I remember that you all are not into football. You're into hockey. And that's called the Stanley Cup. See, I've done my homework. Okay? What's the score of the finals in the Stanley Cup this year? I mean, the season coming up. Why don't you know? Now, what if I could tell you what the score was, who was going to score the winning goal, and who the teams are? What would you say? You'd probably say, you ought to go to Vegas. And when those two teams got in the finals, then what would you say? Mike's kind of a skeptic anyway. You know, he'd say, well, maybe the preacher does get something right. But, you know, how many teams are there all together in pro hockey? 50? 30? So my odds are 2 out of 30. And then I guess the score right. Now even ask this. Well, how many numbers are there? See? But you know what? If I did that year after year after year, you know what? Pretty soon you say, okay, how can He do it? You see what I'm saying? Listen, folks, do you understand that Jesus is going to tell what's going to occur before it ever happens? Not one time or two times. He's going to tell it in a whole series of events. And the reason He said, I'm going to tell you before it ever occurs so that as it is occurring, you'll know that I knew. Listen, folks, if He doesn't know what's coming, then He's not God. You can relax. He's God. He knows what's coming. And so tonight, as we begin to look at the alignment of the nations, I want us to know how powerful, how wonderful He is. Why does this have the nerve to do this? Look at John chapter 14. Another statement of this. John chapter 14. Verse 29. And it says, and now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it is coming to pass, you might believe. Wow. In other words, in the process, in the time frame. Hey, tonight relax. Do you understand that the God of heaven is in control? Isn't that wonderful to know? Every once in a while, we begin to think we're in control. Every once in a while, we begin to think, wow, you know what, the decisions, they're pretty important. Every once in a while, we think, wow, look, no. Listen, folks, do you understand that God is in control? The sovereign God of the universe, who gives free will to men and women to choose Him, is in control of the events of the universe. Thank God for that. Now, you say, well, how did He bear that out? Well, I want you to go with me now to Matthew. And I want you to see how He would foretell some of these things. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. And then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from Thee. Now what a strange statement. They said, you know, Master, if you could just show us a sign. He had already healed a man who was crippled. He had already fed a multitude of 5,000 men plus women and children with one lunch. He had already given sight to the blind, and they want Him to do a sign. You see, here's the point. If you're waiting for signs, there will never be enough signs. And so they say, all right, we would see a sign. But He answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Do you know what He's saying to him? I think He's talking about His death, His burial, His resurrection. I can tell you're not impressed. That's okay. We have a whole hour. Matthew chapter 7:16. Look at this one.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the borders of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But who say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Pretty good statement, wouldn't you say? And so when Peter begins to look around and say, "Wow, I got that question right. Did y'all notice I got that question right?" And Jesus says, "You know what? It's not because you're so smart, but my Father in heaven revealed it to you." And then he goes on to say this. He says, verse 21, "And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how they must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." He taught them that. Okay, you're harder to impress than the disciples. Matthew chapter 17. Try this one. A chapter later. "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again." And the disciples were exceedingly sorry. Do you understand? Time and time and time again. Listen, folks, here's what it says. That Calvary was no accident. Did you know that? Do you understand that Jesus was not surprised when they came and they took him in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was not surprised when they took him for a mock trial. He was not surprised at Pilate. He was not surprised at the Romans. He was not surprised by the nails in his hands. He was not surprised by the crown of thorns. He was not surprised by the spear that pierced his side. He was not surprised as he greeted death and died for my sins. Thank God he knew all of that. I'm so glad he's a God that knows. And you know what? He also had power to come alive from the dead. That's how powerful my God is. And so I look around at everything that's taking place in the world. And I don't mind telling you, if I didn't know Jesus as my Savior, I would be plenty worried. You want to know why? Because I look at what's taking place in Iran, and I'll tell you what, there are madmen in Iran, and folks, they are so close to a nuclear bomb, it's unbelievable. And I know one country, I'm not going to mention them by name, but they have stripes and stars on their flag, and they're south of your borders, and they know it's coming, and they're too afraid to stop it because we're so infiltrated by Islam in our White House that we're afraid to take a stand against Islam. And you want to know something? I'm afraid because of the economic situation in the world. Do you understand that this world's economic system could collapse just like that? And I'm afraid of what's taking place on every front. And then I realize that God knows what's taking place. And you want to know something? My trust is not in science. My trust is not in medicine. My trust is not in the integrity of men who understand nuclear secrets. My trust is in the living God of the universe. Isn't it wonderful to know? And he said these conditions, folks, the conditions we're living in right now are exactly what Jesus said would be in the last days. I honestly think that people who are alive today in this audience are going to be alive when Jesus comes. It could be tonight. Do you understand? There's not one more thing that has to be fulfilled. Jesus could fulfill more things. But there's not one thing that must be fulfilled before Jesus comes. Matter of fact, one of the greatest reasons why Jesus might come tonight is because he didn't come this afternoon. Yeah, that's how close we are. I believe that the lie of Satan is this. Here's what it says in Matthew. He says the evil servant is set in his heart. He just thinks it. He said, my Lord's delaying is coming. He will not come back today. That's an evil servant. He might come tomorrow, but he's not going to come today. I can live however I want to today. I can waste time today because he's not coming back today. And that's an evil. You want to know something? In our churches today, we're not looking for Jesus to come. Because if we thought Jesus was coming today, every chair would be full in this auditorium tonight. Every one of you would have called a friend or a family member and would have said, hey, do you really know Christ as your Savior? Parents would have dealt with children. Children would have dealt with grandparents that are unsaved. Your worst enemy would have been your best friend to tell about Jesus. But we really don't know that Jesus is going to come. And so as a result, you know what? We live pretty casual, don't we? And so here are the disciples, and Jesus tells them again, look at this one. That was in Matthew chapter, I think it was 19 is where we were. And look at chapter 20. I mean, this is just a chapter or so later. And Jesus, verse 17, Jesus going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside along the way and said unto them, behold, we go to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, to crucify him. And the third day, he shall rise again. Did Jesus know what was going to take place? Did he warn them? And for the sake of time, go all the way over to Matthew chapter 26. Look at this. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. It came to pass when Jesus finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Calvary didn't catch him by surprise. Folks, the hatred for the Jew that's taking place right now all over the world is not catching God by surprise. The trouble in Jerusalem is not catching Jesus by surprise. The economic problems, it's not catching Jesus by surprise. The lies being told in governments, it's not catching God by surprise. Do you understand that God is such a sovereign God? He knew this would take place. And I believe that the plan of God is marching exactly as God said. And you want to know something? One of these days there's going to be a last day. And Jesus will come. It could be tonight. Let me ask you this. If Jesus were to come, if Jesus were to break the silence of this night with the sound of a trumpet, first of all, would you go to be with him? Has there ever been a time that you accepted Jesus Christ as the payment for your sin when he died on the cross? If not, you're not ready. You say, well, I'm not sure. I'll tell you what. You know what? I wouldn't leave this auditorium until I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I had Jesus as my personal Savior. Because it's not worth the risk. But I think there are people that live in a cloud of doubt. They don't have to. You see, there's going to be a day that's going to be the last day. And the Bible says, listen, while there's no signs for the tribulation, there are certainly, for the rapture, there's certainly signs for the tribulation. Wow, that thing's up there again. And so we want to look at just a few of those things and see if it can help us to understand what the plan of God might be. Let's go ahead and look at the verse. Luke chapter 21. And I say this because there are incredible signs taking place for the millennial kingdom. There's great signs for the end of the tribulation. Luke chapter 21, verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. I think we're there. One other verse that I want to just mention, and we'll have to move on. But it's this one. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Brother Martin's been talking about the beginning of the creation. And there are people say, you know, if the Lord was coming, how many of you have heard people say, you know, we heard that when we were little kids and Jesus still hasn't come. Does that prove he's not coming? No. It just means he's going to come. And by the way, what would happen if Jesus didn't come? Jesus would be a liar because he promised he would. Now, I don't know about you, but do you ever make promises to your kids or grandkids? Boy, you all are different than any audience I've ever been. Because back home, you know, if no one agrees with you, you say, amen. Okay, and if they don't, they say, no way. But you all, I'm probably not doing something right. But, you know, man, from time to time, I get tricked into making promises. And it usually has to do with time commitments, you know. So I made one of those foolish promises. You know, I've got animals at the school. The last place I want to go is a zoo. But I got crane kids that like to go to the zoo. And so I say, okay, Papa, I said, no, I can't do that this week. Okay, can you do it? I can't do it next week. Okay, I'll tell you what. In 2 weeks, I'm going to take you to the zoo. 2 weeks to Zoom? Every day for 2 weeks. You know what they say? Is this the day? I said, no, this is not the day we're going to the zoo. The next day. I mean, I avoid them. I hide behind a tree. They say, Pavel, I said, no. No, we are not going to the zoo today. It's not 2 weeks. Now, I get up early. But my grandkids come in. I'm sitting there praying. I mean, they go, we know you're in there. This is the day you say, yeah. They don't forget promises. Hey, do you understand that God makes promises? God is not slack concerning His promises. Someone counts slackness. So why has God waited all this time? The disciples thought Jesus was going to set up His kingdom when they were alive on the earth. Now we're 2,000 years later. Are we still looking for Jesus to come? The answer is yes. You want to know why? Because Jesus is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering. The patient, I'll tell you what, if I were God, I wouldn't have waited this long. Think of all the mess that we've made with one war after another war. Think of all the mess we made with every situation. And the God in heaven says, yeah, but one more soul to come to Jesus is worth it. It must really be something to go to heaven because you wait so patiently for one soul to be there. And so don't count His not coming yet as the fact that He cannot come. He can come. But He's long-suffering, and so the long-suffering of God is sometimes interpreted by people that He's not coming at all. Now, what are some of the factors that we need to look at as we see the alignment of the nations? Well, there are several things that I think are really, really important, and I want to try to list some of those for you. Number one, I think it's the nations. Tonight, in a few minutes, I just want to show you several of those and how important it is how they're lining up. Here's another thing. The enemies of Israel. Do you know that God's word, a long time ago, when I talk about a long, I'm talking 2,800 years ago, God indicated that in the last days, Israel would have three groups of enemies. They would have the nations that would look like a revived Roman Empire. We probably today would call them the European Community. And that group of nations would be against Israel. Is that group of nations against Israel tonight? Yeah. It's unbelievable. Next, it talks about Islam. It says that there would be a religious faction that would be out of the loins of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. And they would be against Jacob. And God talks about how their destruction would occur. Ezekiel 35, Obadiah, the whole book. Do we see Islam on the rise? Yeah. And then the Bible says that there will be the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, the ragings of Satan himself, would be against the Jew. Those three enemies God identified, and all three of those are neatly in place tonight, exactly as the Bible said would be for the tribulation period of time. Folks, before the tribulation ever begins, I'm out of here. I don't know about you. I got a ticket on the bus that leaves before the tribulation ever starts. And so, what a time, what a day and age to live in. Technology. We're going to look more at this tomorrow. But you know, technology is marvelous. What is taking place, and I want to show you some newscasts by secular stations. And they're going to talk about all kinds of advances made in science and in technology. It's going to talk about what you bought and who bought it and where it is. It's going to talk about how it's located. It's even going to talk about how it'll impinge on your human freedoms. Are we there? I mean, we've had governments tell us that, well, we're not spying on you, only to find out that they're spying. And the Bible indicates these things will come. The Bible talks about when you say peace and security, then there's going to be sudden destruction. The Bible talks about how that there will be promises made, and every promise will be broken by every government. You see, these are exactly the things that the Bible indicate would be for the last days. And we're watching them take place. I really think it's important for us to understand that we're living in the last days. Now, what are some of these factions? Well, there's some important factors. Go with me to Revelation chapter 13. And we're just going to use this for our thoughts tonight and as well tomorrow morning, if the Lord tarries through the night. But notice what some of these important factors are. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Normally in Revelation, the sea is referred to as the Gentile world powers. And so I think that this comes about the Gentile world powers. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, that's the devil, gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. In other words, there's going to come a time when out of the political system of this world, there's going to be a beast. I'm going to call him the Antichrist. And when he comes to power, his power will be from the devil himself. Now, I know you're thinking, wow, that's pretty bad when you call the governments the devil. Hey, you want to know something? I believe that when men grab the power that sometimes come with governments, it's amazing what goes through their mind. And often when you elect somebody, have you ever noticed that they change colors? I mean, they change views. They change their words. And the very thing they run on, they don't run on that anymore. They change their whole scheme. Again, I would hate to talk about any country south of here, but wow, we've watched people make all kinds of promises and only to find out that you know, he was against homosexuality, now it's okay. He was for this and that. Everything's changed. And so here's what it says. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. Now, that's pretty frightening, isn't it? Because you see, there's going to come a time when the Antichrist is going to begin to make this devilish move. Folks, I don't think that can occur until the church is gone. Why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's something that holds back. Listen, believe me, the devil would like to do it tonight, but he can't. Why? Because the plan of God will not allow him to do so. The extension of grace for salvation of men and women has extended to this hour and it continues on. But there will be a time when God will close the day of grace. He will close the church age. And when he calls his church home, his bride home, listen, folks, the Antichrist will step on the scene and begin his devilish trick to deceive men. And Jesus says this, I am the way, so there can only be one. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. And here is the devil. Now, Jesus said, he is the way. Have you noticed that Satan says, there's a lot of ways. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. You know what? The devil is the lie. And then Jesus said, I'm the life, and Satan is the death. Folks, everything that Jesus is, the Antichrist and the devil is the opposite. And yet he makes himself to be worshipped by men. And so he's the master. He's the master of deception. He's the master of this lie. Then, go with me, verse 3. And I saw one of the heads as though it were wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. In other words, they begin to worship him. They worship the dragon who gave power unto the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given to him to continue 42 months. In other words, 3.5 years. He opened his mouth in blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Do you notice how many times it says power? Look at verse 2. The dragon gave him his power. Look at verse 4. The dragon gave power unto the beast. Look at verse 5. Power was given on him to continue 42 months. Verse 7. Power was given him over all the kindreds and tongues of the earth. Verse 12. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him. Verse 14. Verse 15. Power. Listen, folks. It's a hungry power situation. Look at the world today. Look at the leaders today. It's incredible, isn't it? I think there's another thing to look out for, and that's the global factor. You know, here's what the Bible indicates. The Bible says that in the last days, you'll know because there's going to be things that are going to be global. It's no longer going to be isolation. It's almost impossible for us to live isolated anymore as a country, isn't it? Everything happens on a global scale. And I think the Bible indicates this because in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, it talks about how that all the world in 1 hour changes. I mean, altogether it changes. I don't know if you all watch 60 Minutes. I'm a news junkie. And so I have people that watch the news for me. And every day I get a statement saying, here's what you need to watch, here's what you need to watch, here's what you need to watch. And I watch a lot of it. I would get on the treadmill and I watch some of these weird things. But did any of you see the 60-minute show about the cheating in the stock market? Oh, wow. This is wild. They just uncovered a big scam in the stock market. Okay? They think it's based on a nanosecond. Because what happens, somebody, the world is so tied together that if you try to buy stock, you place an order for stock, and it goes from this place where you ordered to the place where the exchange is actually made, may take a nanosecond. But in going there, someone intercepts it on the way, and they pre-buy the stock you were going to buy. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say you were going to go to a hockey game, and you wanted 4 tickets. And so you call, and they say, okay, 4 tickets are $20. You say, okay, I'll take them. And before you can punch the buy, they say, oh, we can get 2 of those for $20, but it's all sold out at the $20 price, but we can sell you the last 2 for $40. Well, you say, you know, I can't leave my wife and son at home. I got to have them. So, okay, they're doing that with the stock market. I mean, this is clever. They think they cheated people in the last decade. They think that they cheated out of $300 billion. How's that for chunk change? Then a Canadian, that's what brought this to my mind, a Canadian thought of the system. To beat the system, he slowed it down. He made it so that instead of intercepting the path, he made it so that the whole thing slowed down so that it all got to the computer at the same instant. He slowed it down 1 nanosecond. That's 10 to the minus 9, in case you're wondering. And now they couldn't buy it before you already bought it. Companies are so mad at him, this guy's fearing for his life. Because he's just stopped the crooks. Here's his statement. He said, do you understand we live in a day and a time when all the world goes up or down together? The economic bubble goes up and goes down. He says, we'll all go rich together or we'll all go bankrupt together. He said it could happen in 1 single hour. Wow, where have I heard that before? Oh, the Bible said that. The Bible said that in 1 hour. The world's going to be tied together. All the world is going to come against Jerusalem. All the world is going to go bankrupt. All the world, you see, he talked about the fact we're going to be global. Now, 100 years ago, people wouldn't have believed it. But it's true tonight. Religious factor. Well, do you understand that the Bible said that in the last days, the religious factor would be such that all the world would actually worship one false god called the Antichrist. I stand amazed. I stand amazed because, you see, there was a day and a time when in people's mind there was Judaism, there was Islam, there was Christianity, there was Buddhist. These were distinct and separate. It's no longer true. Have you seen the lines that are blurred in terms of religious thought? It's amazing. For Islam, we have churches in my own city. less than 5 miles away, took down the cross. You want to know why? They said, because we have Islamic people live in the neighborhood and we don't want to offend them with a cross. It's unbelievable. I know the man who founded the church. I know the man who preached there for 40 years. He would roll over in his grave if he thought they were doing that. Why? We're afraid. The other day, I had a family come to me and said, our pastor just told us that maybe hell really isn't fire. I said, where'd he get that? Well, they said that, you know, God really, you know, why would God want to torture people in fire? How did they get this? I mean, folks, one thing after another, after another, after another. Listen, the whole thing is changing. And the Bible says it's going to be set up so that when one man comes, all the world will follow him. And I believe that we're looking at a day and a time when doctrinal things are so unimportant in most churches that people don't know what's doctrinally right and what's doctrinally wrong. It would be easy for an Antichrist to come in, because I look at the lies that he's telling the emergent church. I look at the lies that he's telling people as they believe in Chrislam. Folks, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Why are we afraid? Why are we afraid to say, you know what? That can't be true. It doesn't agree with the Bible. Why are we afraid to say that? You know what? You want to know why? I don't know that we're as convinced as we thought we are. Listen, folks, you want to know why I tell people to get saved? Because I think hell does have fire. You want to know why I tell people that they ought to turn from being a Buddhist to being a Christian? Because I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. You want to know why I'm against Islam? It's not because I don't like people that are Arabs. Matter of fact, I have a lot of Arab friends. You go with me to Israel. I'm the grandfather, I'm the godfather of Arab children. I mean, this is unbelievable. I go there and I sit in their house and I eat with them. And we have the hottest discussions you've ever seen about Allah and about God. And you know something? I may be insulted by them every day when I'm with them. But somehow I pray, God, help at least one of them to come to Christ. Hey, folks, you want to know why? Because I believe heaven is real. I believe hell is hot. I believe that heaven and hell are both eternal. I believe the only way to go there is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the last days there will be a global factor. In the last days there will be a religious factor. And folks, we're there. Hey, do you understand that we're living in a day and a time when if you stand up for what's right, you as a church, you as an individual might be persecuted. I was talking to a brother here, and I mean, it's unbelievable. Back home, we're being criticized because we disagree with a film, the movie I called Noah. Okay. The persecution I'm getting is not from the unsaved. The persecution I'm getting are from the churches. It's a mockery against the Word of God. It's a mockery against the Bible, Noah. And it's the church people that are calling it. It's exactly what the Bible said would be in the last days. For the sake of time, we've talked about the political factor. Well, going to be a powerful political factor. There's an economic factor. It's interesting because if we continue on, look what it says. Verse 14. And he deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast that had the wound by a sword and to live. He hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and enslaved, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell except that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You know what? I think there's an economic factor. I think that there will be a day and a time when all the controlling will be done, economically will be done, by marks. Now this is actually an old clip. But I want to show it to you because I think it's interesting. But keep in mind that this is old and we'll need audio here.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important. In just the first half of this year, 2011,
this is a year ago,
the world experienced so many natural disasters that it was the most expensive year ever for property damages. Dale Hurd has this look at the incredible string of disasters so far in 2011.
That's 11. Now listen.
The year 2011 began with a flood in Australia so vast it turned an area larger than Texas into a disaster zone. Little did we know then, there was much worse to come. The world was still in shock when the southern and eastern United States experienced the worst rash of tornadoes in recorded weather history. The 2011 super outbreak, as it was called, included four monster EF5 tornadoes and led to almost 350 deaths and more than $6 billion in insured losses.
Tornadoes coming in the city. Massive tornado. Massive destruction.
Then, just weeks later, on a Sunday afternoon in May, a mile-wide multiple vortex EF5 tornado plowed through Joplin, Missouri, obliterating whole sections of the town, killing 159 people and causing an estimated $2 billion in insured losses. The insurance industry was reeling. Americans were in shock.
It's a sobering thing for even modern man to face up to natural disasters that don't make any sense at all and to hit randomly in the world and may hit you. The question you had in the back of their minds, what does this mean?
And unfortunately, the world's worst disasters could still be ahead.
Listen,
like a Category 5 hurricane making a direct hit on a large American city. But experts also study other scenarios many of us have never heard of. Geologists have warned that heavy rains on Mount Rainier in Washington State could cause a huge, deadly 40-mile mudslide, moving at 60 miles per hour and filled with rocks and trees. Some fear the collapse of the giant volcanic mountain Cumbre Vieja in the Canary Islands could send an 80-foot-high tsunami into the east coast of the United States at 600 miles per hour. And along the Mississippi, a catastrophic quake at the giant New Madrid Fault would cause utter devastation to America's heartland.
It's going to get worse, not better.
Many Americans might think they live in one of the safest periods in world history. But do they? Why have so many natural disasters struck the planet this year?
It brings people to question the ultimate end of everything. Even the natural man who doesn't even know God is saying something bad is happening. It's getting worse and worse.
Yeah. Hey, folks, do you understand? Listen, that's not a sign for the rapture. That's a sign for the tribulation. Folks, why is God doing that? Why did God tell the disciples time after time after time, listen, here's what's going to take place? He said, I'm going to tell you before it ever occurs so that as it is occurring, you'll know. There's not one person here that could say, when Jesus comes, well, I didn't know you were coming. You will have to put off the signs. You'll have to put off every indicator that God is telling you not to believe that. And so then, he says, when it's the darkest, that's okay because Christ is going to come at that time. So what are some of those signs? Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, it talks about how Russia will come down against Israel. I remember several years ago when Russia collapsed and I had people, even at the university, say, okay, now that Russia's collapsed, and I was very involved in Russia, some of you know. And I said, now that Russia's collapsed, does that mean your Bible's not true? Here's what I have to say. God says that in the end time, Russia will be involved in an invasion into Israel. How God brings it about, I don't know. Hey, tonight, does anyone wonder about it? Isn't it amazing that Russia has come back to power exactly as the Bible said? Now, it's interesting because, you see, there's no doubt everyone right now knows that Putin is trying to reconstruct the old Soviet Union. Everyone is worried about what's happening in Ukraine. And we should be. If I didn't know Jesus, I would be worried too. Because let me tell you this. You see, while our countries might have scruples about how we do things, Russia has no scruples about how they do anything. And so they will make a treaty and they will break it. And the Bible says that they will invade Israel. And folks, they've come back to power exactly as the Bible said. And the Bible says that they will be involved in that invasion. And listen, folks, if we left tonight in the rapture, it'd be perfectly set up exactly as the Bible said. For Jesus, after the church is gone, Israel's enemies, the Bible talks about how Iran, it's called Persia, would be against the Jew. Do you think that Persia is an enemy of Israel tonight? I don't know if I'll have time to do it, but as you know, my PhD is in nuclear engineering, and an incredible thing has happened to delay Iran for almost 14 months. And we're not sure who did it. I mean, who would I be? I mean, what do I know about telling you what might have happened? But we know that there's only three countries in the world that would have had the technology to slow down Iran for 14 months. One of those is the United States, and I'm quite sure that we did not do it. And one of those is Russia, and I don't think they want to do it. And there's only one other country in all the world that had the technology to do that, and that's little old Israel. And do you understand that Israel's delay of Iran? Listen, folks, you go and you see, hey, here is Russia and Iran. They were never friends in the entire history of mankind. They were never friends. And yet the Bible said in the last days that they would come against Israel. There were even people that said the Bible couldn't be true because it talks about how that Russia and Iran would come against Israel together. They're not even friends. What's taken place in the last 20 years? Russia and Iran are best buddies, aren't they? And their common enemy is Israel, exactly as the Bible says. You see, God works out His plan. And when we see it, we have to say, wow, God, your plan is exactly Turkey. You know, the Bible indicates how Tagarma would come against them. You go, look what's going on in Turkey. I mean, it's incredible to see what's sacred. Syria. Isaiah 17 talks about Syria. Have you seen what's taking place in Syria? Wow, some of the most incredible things. We have missionaries in Lebanon. Do you understand that we have over 1 million refugees coming out of Syria into Lebanon? And here's what they say. I mean, these are Islamists who are not part of the terrorist organization of Hamas and Hezbollah and the Muslim Brotherhood. And they said, we are worried. Why? It's becoming a training ground for the extremists. And the Bible indicates that this would take place and that Syria, Damascus, Syria, would be destroyed. You know what? Even the secular press is now indicating they think that that's what it will take. The Arab League. Wow. Do you know, see this little speck? That little white speck? That's Israel. Tomorrow, I'm going to show you how big the Arab League was just 8 years ago. I'll show you what's taking place. Well, that gives you somebody. That's the Arab League today. The Bible indicates it's spread as it surrounds Israel. Exactly as the Bible said. Folks, those are all pictures for the tribulation. We got to be out of here before it ever comes to its fruition. You see why I think we're leaving soon? Sorry to say tonight. Could be tonight. Wow. You know what? I wouldn't mind it being tonight. It'd save me that plane ride home. Here's another one. It says that all of Israel's friends will turn against him. Do you know that this man, that I have to say is the president of my country, do you know how he stood up the prime minister of Israel? While the prime minister of Israel waited for a meeting, he appeared on a late night comedian show. One insult after another. I mean, it's so disgusting. The Bible says that they will have no friends. There will be no one there to defend them. It's exactly what is taking place. And so, yet at the same time, they talk about the peace proposal that they want to make. Here's their peace proposal. John Kerry calls for Israel to cede the Golan Heights in East Jerusalem. That's the peace proposal. I mean, this is unbelievable. For us to go to Israel and say, give back the Golan Heights. What if someone said, hey, you know what? You guys could have peace with Mexico. All you got to do is give back everything from Toronto on of Canada. Give it away. Are you tempted? I hope not. Hey, that's not a peace proposal. I mean, that's ludicrous. And so they go there. He said, any final agreement would have to include a Palestinian state inside the capital of East Jerusalem. Folks, do you understand how ludicrous this is? But no one objects. No one says, hey, that's wrong. You want to know why it's wrong? The Bible says that Jerusalem belongs to Jesus. Jerusalem belongs to God. Kerry cannot give it away. But I'm going to show you tomorrow who all is after Jerusalem. I mean, the list is unbelievable. Political, religious, wow, it's absolutely unbelievable. We're living in exactly that time. Oh my. I can't do much with this one other than tell you, here is Hillary Clinton. I don't think there's a person in the United States that doesn't think she'll run for the presidency. Do you see the lady whispering in her ear? I think it's the most influential person in America right now. Huma Adina. She's such a grand Muslim that President Obama recently called her an American patriot. She's one who's an advocate for Sharia law. You will never find Hillary Clinton without her a few steps ahead or behind her. Okay? Tomorrow I'll try to show how her whole family is involved with the Muslim Brotherhood. I'll try to show you how that every move that Hillary Clinton has made, including some incredible mistakes as Secretary of State, is all tied into Islam. And then here's President Obama walking with his good friend. His good friend has asked him to stir up racial tension, has asked him to promote the Islamic point of view. And folks, he has done that. I have more freedom in China. I have more freedom in Burma to talk about Jesus in a public school than I do in my own country. Because we might offend someone who's Islamic. Hey, you know what the Bible said? The Bible said it would be just like that as the tribulation begins. And before the tribulation ever begins, guess what? Jesus comes for the church. I think we're on the brink of Jesus coming. Here's the question. Are you ready? If Christ were to come tonight, are you ready? We'll begin here tomorrow. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we come together that we might study your word, that we might find out the hope in us needs to spring forth. It needs to spring forth so that we will live in these last days in such a way that you'll be pleased. Father, help us to tell people of Jesus. Father, help us to look at our families, our friends. Father, help us to look at our workers that we work with day by day. And Father, may we be willing to sacrifice our popularity, even their opinions of us, so that they might hear the truth of God's word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.